Jesus said, "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for his friends." I wonder if you remember the original version of the film The Poseidon Adventure. It's been remade in recent years. But in the original version of that film, there was a short scene near the beginning when two Christian ministers were arguing about the death of Jesus on the cross. And the younger minister said to the older minister that all the old talk of sacrifice was outdated. And he said, "We should be thinking of the cross as an example of love rather than sacrifice." Well, the older minister replies to his younger colleague that there's no love and there's no salvation without sacrifice. Well, then the ship gets into difficulties and, of course, it turns turtle upside down. And when it turns over, the older minister is drowned in the water. And the younger minister tries to lead a group of survivors to safety. And finally, he has to sacrifice his own life in order to save them. There's no love without sacrifice. And right at the end of his life, the younger minister realized the old minister was right. There's a strange story in the Old Testament. It's a story about a Jewish general, a man called Gideon. And Gideon had been called by God to be a leader of the people. And he tested God in a couple of ways, one of which was laying a lamb's fleece out overnight when it was bone dry and waking up in the morning and discovering it was wet. Well, God called Gideon to be a leader. And Gideon and his people, the troops, were going into a battle. And he was a mighty leader. He had 32,000 men at his disposal. And God told Gideon, first of all, to let those men who were afraid go home. And because God had said it, Gideon told the men, "If any of you are afraid, go home. There'll be no retribution on you." And of that 32,000, two-thirds of Gideon's army left. The remaining 10,000 men were told to drink from a nearby water source. And some of the men knelt down and put their faces right in the water to drink. Others, 300 of them, scooped up the water with their hands. And on this purely arbitrary basis, God told Gideon to reduce his forces and take a mere 300 into battle. Well, the 300 warriors set off with Gideon in command, and they set off at night with torches, but they hid the flames from the torches inside earthenware jars. And then when they were all in place, and when they were all ready to fight, they revealed their presence by smashing the jars and by blowing trumpets. And when the enemy looked out on this night battle scene, they thought a huge army was attacking them. And the enemy ran away in panic. The purpose of reducing the army as God did, the size of the army, was to teach Gideon, as their commander, to teach them humility. If Gideon had beaten the enemy with a large army, 32,000 men, then that victory may have gone to his head. And he would have imagined that he could cope with any situation on his own. But because he succeeded only with a handful of troops, he realized that nobody can win without God's help. A few days ago, I was in one of the schools and I was showing the children pictures of famous people, one of whom was William Shakespeare. The children thought it was Gordon Brown, our Prime Minister. Shakespeare, of course, was a prolific writer. And in one of his plays, Henry V, we discover Henry, the king, telling his soldiers to sing the 115th psalm as they prepared for battle. The psalm which begins, "Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name give the glory." We should always remember that when a war is won, that we couldn't have done it on our own. but that we were successful because God helped us. That doesn't mean that God takes sides. You know, in the recent American election, both John McCain and Barack Obama, as they contested the presidency of the United States of America, took the name of God upon their lips. But God doesn't take sides. God, in warfare, is as saddened by the death of one of the enemy as he is of one of our own troops. And even if we have carefully thought out the doctrine of the just war, even if we have decided that this particular campaign was necessary to protect the weak and the vulnerable, we'll never succeed if we forget to call on God. Everyone who dies as a consequence of war, whether they willingly decided to put their lives at risk or not, can be counted among the martyrs who have sacrificed their lives for others. As John tells us in his Gospel, Jesus said, "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Just as the young minister on that doomed ship, the Poseidon, discovered, there is no love without sacrifice. At the beginning of the 1914-1918 war, there were many poets among the soldiers who went down into the trenches. Some of these poets, like Rupert Brooke, were patriotic and regarded their sacrifice as made willingly for their country. Brooke wrote, "There's some corner of a foreign field that is forever England." Towards the end of that war, however, other poets who were soldiers, men like Wilfred Owen, realised that their self-sacrifice had been unjustly demanded of them by ignorant superiors. "The poetry," Owen wrote, "is in the pity." He reversed the Bible story of Abraham sparing the life of his son Isaac so that Abraham raised his hand and slew his son and half the seed of Europe, one by one. On this Remembrance Sunday, as every day of remembrance, we must remember all those who sacrificed their lives in wartime, both those who willingly laid down their lives for their friends and those who thought it was all a waste but still obediently did their duty, and those who, for conscientious reasons, would not fight and suffered the consequences. For if we don't remember those whose lives have been sacrificed so that we can live, we shall be very ungrateful people. The simple act of wearing a poppy every November, of gathering to remember, standing in silence, is one of the ways we remember them, and we remind ourselves to live lives worthy of their sacrifice. We remind ourselves to work for peace so that more lives don't have to be sacrificed, and we remind ourselves that we could never have won if we hadn't made sure our cause was just and prayed to God to help us. Amen. We sing together from the church hymn book, hymn 161, "O God, our help in ages past."